now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Masaki Miyagawa of Akaida.com. Masaki has developed a line of pyramid power orgone devices, which I want him to talk about. He's been on our show before. He's quite knowledgeable about a variety of subjects. He's there pretty much at ground zero in the trenches, if you will, living in the Los Angeles area. So he sees firsthand the bottom down effects of all the social engineering that's going on from an Agenda 21 perspective. So without any further ado, Masaki Miyagawa, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hi, James. Glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you back, buddy. Well, tell me, I don't know how much of an effect the earthquakes had on you. What's your feeling about that? And then how have you folks in your area been impacted, if at all?
Well, we're recording this just after the 4th of July, which is the Independence Day for people in the USA. Yes. And, you know, we've been having hundreds of mini quakes leading up to the 4th. And then on July 4th and July 5th, we had two fairly large earthquakes. Now, what's interesting is these earthquakes were the rolling type of earthquakes. James, you're probably familiar. You've lived in California for many years, so you've probably experienced some large earthquakes. There's two kinds of earthquakes. There's ones which it almost feels like you're on an amusement ride, like a rolling feeling. And these were like 6.0 earthquakes, fairly large, 6, 7.0. But it wasn't that scary where we are. I'm in basically central LA. The epicenter was about a mile, like a 1 hour out in the high desert by the famous China Lake Ridgecrest, Reptoid yeah. Crest.
Yes.
It was unusual because two large quakes, but they're both of the rolling type. The other type is like a slip fault, where it's more
like a jolt, like a sudden
kind of. It feels like there's a train coming through the house. Yeah. Everything's shuddering. So in that way, it could have been a lot worse if it was in a dense, high population area like Los Angeles proper. And then two, this rolling type, I think, is not as damaging, although there were some fires and things out in Ridgecrest. But yeah, you know, I think the time we're in, you have the micro and the macro. So as things are getting more tense, you know, with the social relations here in the U.S. and it's happening all over the world. You see what's happening in the Western Europe. But then also the earth is shaking like a birthquake. There's some kind of new world emerging now, you know.
Yes, there is. Now, you live in the Los Angeles area, like you just mentioned, Masaki, and you're quite familiar with the Agenda 21 format, if you will. Can you give us an idea of what you've observed and how this is impacting the people on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. Well, I think many of your listeners are probably more well-informed than the average person. There's this so-called Agenda 21, which has now been upgraded to Agenda 2030. That's why you hear AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, talking about the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't do X, Y, Z. But basically in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, the United Nations, all the members of the United Nations signed an agreement that they would work towards so-called sustainability to save the earth from climate change. I think at the time they were calling it global warming. And, you know, this is the thing. with a lot of the agendas going on today, it's kind of multi-dimensional. It's multi-layered. So on the surface, it may sound great, but there are strings attached, right? There's other agendas. Basically, they tug at your heartstrings. They work at the emotional level. And I saw this a lot here, say in the 2016 election, a lot of the sentiment from the left, so-called left, behind Bernie Sanders and Hillary and so forth. There's a saying, the left has no heart and the right has no, the left has no brain and the right has no heart, right? Conservatives tend to be much more logical and have done their homework. At the same time, you know, there are terrible conditions going on at the border, right? But what the liberals don't realize is you can be highly manipulated based on emotion. And today, the issues are a lot more multi-layered than they were in the past. So a lot of the sentiment around racial problems, border, immigration, these kinds of things, it's not as simple as it was a few generations ago, say like 1960s, right? There was obvious race. America has always had racial friction and problems. But, you know, whereas in the past, there's a guy coming over the hill with a gun, or there's policemen hosing the blacks down with water hoses, right? Very obvious what the situation is. But now, just taking that template of the 1960s, it doesn't really fit today. It only fits on a surface level because this is what they call the 4D chess or the so-called hybrid war, right? Where the agendas can only be decoded by people like us that have been watching the so-called conspiracy sphere, which is actually the conspiracy reality. You can only really understand what's going on if you have spent a considerable amount of time looking into the geopolitical, the social, the esoteric, all these things connect. And so basically bringing it back around, the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, it all connects back. You could connect it back to like 100 plus years ago, a lot of the British, what would you call them? These like Malthusians, right? That they see themselves as the Platonic priests, the scientific priest class, which is smarter than everybody else. So they have decided for the betterment of the planet to preserve their own power, and because the public is too dumbed down and worthless, that they are going to use a multi layered agenda to depopulate, to dumb people down, concentrate them in these so-called smart cities in a kind of a Hunger Games scenario. Where actually, you know, if you go anywhere around the planet, we do have a lot of people here. We have a lot of people on the planet, but you go outside the large cities, it's pretty empty, right? So, and since a large chunk of the population have grown up in mega cities, right, like LA, New York, Sao Paulo, Tokyo, Beijing, so forth, you could easily get the idea that there's way too many people. But that's only because you're among millions of people. You go out to, you know, drive an hour or two out, there's nothing, right? But they want to keep it like that because it's easier to control people in one spot instead of in the rural areas. So all these things, it's basically for control, but I would also call it a kind of an end game. And the most difficult thing a magician has to do is the reveal. It's the last trick. That's the most difficult thing. So at the same time this is rolling out, it's actually waking a lot of people up, because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, and I could go into more detail about what I'm seeing in LA, but that's a basic scenario. A lot of this Agenda 21 sustainability It's on the surface, of course, we all want to be in harmony with the planet. We want to be, we don't want to pollute and so forth. But who's really polluting? It's the corporate capitalists, you know, this this robber baron economy that has really polluted the planet. The average person has no choice because we're living in the system. So is it really the plastic straws that are destroying the planet, or is it these mass wars, Fukushima? I think that's a much bigger level than the person using the plastic straw, you know?
Indeed. And I definitely want to hear your take on what you're seeing, this Agenda 2030 rollout. I just want to make a quick observation of how emotions are played at a very basic level. And Randy Moggins has been talking about this, how we're starting to see this transformation from organic soul-embodied people to this kind of simulacrum, if that's how you pronounce the word. These non, I forget the term that Randy uses to describe people that aren't really people. They're just acting out these computer biological genetic impulses, really. And
they're like NPCs or the agents from the Matrix, right?
That's it. And we see them everywhere now. And they act as Matrix sentinels to kind of keep us hemmed in. And the way emotions are played, Misaki, it's very much this Soviet-era agitprop agitation propaganda, sure. The Maoist Red Guards, the Komsomol Young Communist League. And we see that with Antifa. We see that with elements of the space cowboys, the secret space agenda, space cowboys that have got their own special brand of disclosure. Everything is driven by high emotions. And at the ground level, what's happened to us within the last year in Australia, at least in my part of Australia, is the consumers at the grocery stores, the two big chains here are Woolworths, called Woolies for short, and Coles. They were all terrorized by this notion. Okay, they were all told ahead of time, okay, we're no longer going to have plastic bags. You're going to have to bring your own sustainable plastic bags, right? This is a classic bait and switch. And let me just give you an example of how emotions are played. And people were freaking out. How can we survive? How can humanity sustain itself without plastic? How can we bring our groceries home? And so after this was allowed to ferment for a few weeks, the corporations, i.e. Woolworths and Coles, and now increasingly when you go into a gas station to get gas, this is the same thing is happening there now. They said, okay, we understand you've become very attached to your plastic bags. This is what we'll do in order to help sustain the ecology of the planet. We'll charge you 15 cents a bag for each bag you want in order to take your groceries. So, and you can use the bag for garbage. You can use the bag to bring stuff to work and to bring it out on, bring stuff on outings. I mean, you know, these are all purpose plastic bags. So now when we go to Coles and Woolworth, and you can go into just about anybody's, beneath anyone's kitchen sink in Australia, you'll see hordes of plastic bags. People will go to the stores these days, forget to bring their plastic bags with them, and buy more plastic bags, right? So what we're seeing is more plastic, but it's costing you 15 cents a pop to get a plastic bag.
So it's the same thing, but now they're making money off
it. Now they're making money. And the other day, about 3 weeks ago, I went into a Shell gas station. I bought something while I was there, and I said, can I get a plastic bag? Oh, sure, it'll cost you 15 cents. So now, even in the so-called convenience stores, we're being ding, nickel and dime, 15 cents. And it's all to save the economy, ecology, of course, but it's costing each one of us 15 cents a pop to get a plastic bag, you see? And so that's an example how emotions were played. Oh, they're going to take our plastic bags away. How will humanity, how will the world survive without plastic, right? And
well, now there's – if we didn't have all these larger problems, you know, we should be quote unquote more sustainable. But obviously, this is like a lot of things that, you know, you, me, and the listeners are into. On a one by one basis, I don't have a problem with it. Like, now this could be controversial, but you may have heard Little Mermaid's going to be black now. So if it was just that one children's cartoon, yeah, no problem, right? But there's obviously the whole diversity agenda.
James Bond. Just to interject for a second, I was watching this TV series. It was about ancient Sparta. It was on Netflix or Stan, I can't remember where. Right. Half the characters are black. And I'm thinking, okay, there was some interaction. There was some blacks interacting with the ancient Near East. And okay, but why is it that in ancient Sparta, which was a male patriarchal society, half the characters are black? See, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, and then, you know, they're talking about Spider-Man's going to be gay now or bi or something. And, you know, see, so if you just come out with that one-liner, you're immediately going to be shut down as racist, homophobic,
yes,
so forth. But, of course, the diversity agenda is not really coming from the ethnics, and it's not really to benefit us, you know? And this is the problem, because, James, you're a little older than me. I really grew up in the 80s and 90s, but when I, you know, and I grew up in LA, which is one of the more multicultural places around, and, you know, I never saw many positive representations of Asians in movies, TV, and so forth. But now it's flipped. Now we have more representation, but it's all in this very controlled, on-the-message leftist agenda, which is like, okay, great. Maybe it was better when we were hated on and ignored. Because let me tell you, my cursory look at these up-and-coming Asian actors, and, you know, they have the blacks and Latinos and so forth, but, you know, I was just looking at some of the Asian actors, and hey, good for them. It's their craft, and now they get more work, but I think a lot of the ethnics, to keep their position, they're very SJW social justice warrior, and I think that's a lot of Hollywood that, okay, now you've got your slice of the pie, but now you're part of the system too, and that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, one by one, and it's the same thing with any of this Agenda 21, sustainability, green agenda. One by one, why not, right? But this is all concerted effort in a mass chess game, which the average layperson does not see. And I think that's the thing too, is, you know, many of us, because they had to deal with, you know, traumas, could be my lab people, project people, could be just things in your own family. We were kind of set aside from the normal society. So we started to look into these things, right? But the average person, they're busy with family, they're busy with their job. All they want to do when they get home is crack a beer, watch some TV, go to sleep, and repeat the cycle. So they can't even, I think on one level, it's disturbing. You don't want to really know the truth. Two, they're too tired, right? And they're too busy taking care of their other responsibilities. But what I see is now the things that we've been talking about for years, although you could see the chemtrails in the sky, you could notice the political events. Now it's so in your face with these stack and pack housing. The so-called road diets, the lane reductions, where they're making it across the world. It doesn't matter if you're in LA, New York, London, even Sao Paulo. I've been to Australia. I saw it there too. They're making the traffic so bad that, you know, people are saying, well, what's the purpose of this? It's making it like not even worth it to drive. That's exactly the purpose. They say it's for, you know, more sustainability. It reduces accidents, makes it easier for, you know, people that use the bike lane. Even though in LA, you see like a row of 100 cars and a bike lane that's empty, right? But the goal is to make it so aggravating that you literally stop using your car, you know? And so they have, you know, I'm sure all your listeners know about this stuff. They, you know, GM already has prototype cars with literally no steering wheel because it's going to be a robot car, right? So Lyft and Uber is also part of that. Uber, very convenient, but at the same time, you have to know There's so many pieces of the pie, but they all interlock to form the so-called smart city grid. And what ties it all together in a sort of an AI network is the 5G, which is the new wireless standard, you know?
And I want you to get into the 5G and effective countermeasures to deal with it. But you just hit on some key points about the expansion of the bus lanes, the contraction of vehicle roadways, and all the chaos that ensues. I was reading this article because I did a commentary last year or the year before about the impact of these bike lanes and how it's leading to more accidents. More people are getting run over. More bicyclists are getting run over. More cars are crashing into each other. So once again, Masaki, everything is an inversion in this weird kind of dystopic reality that we find ourselves in.
Right. Well, you know, I'm sure that the powers that be, they have their occultists on hand. They're metaphysicians, and they understand the cycles, and they understand when to push certain things. And I was mentioning off air that if we're not in the Aquarian Age, we are quickly moving into it. And so there's some positive things about the Age of Aquarius. Now, it's a air sign. It's mental, right? The symbol, astrological symbol of Aquarius, it literally looks like a Wi-Fi sign. It's kind of three waves, just like waves in the air, right? So we have more access to incredible technologies like the Rife machine for zapping any kind of virus or bacteria, right? Can do a lot of homeopathic, this is a touchy word, but we could say healing effects, you know, something like that.
Perish the thought that, you know, actually kill somebody without, you know, these disastrous side effects in the process, but please carry on.
Yeah. So things like radionics, pyramid energies, these kinds of things are more available to us. And if you use a lot of these energy tools, it will actually not only neutralize or shield out the harmful effects of Wi-Fi and so forth, but it'll actually bump up your consciousness. But on the lower aspect, Age of Aquarius is about the group. So the positive side could be an organic planetary group consciousness. But the same thing could be said about the AI hive mind, right? That often with any archetype, there's a kind of a core aspect, but it can take a positive or negative aspect. So we're coming out of the age of Pisces, right? Which was Pisces was about victimization, and we had a lot of persecution, the church telling you what to believe, right? Or the family, you could say the patriarch. You have to live by these rules. And Pisces is about I believe. Aquarius is about I know for myself. But there's some things that come with that. One is you have to have the responsibility to know what you're doing. The church is no longer has the boot on your neck, but now you have access to a lot of these energies or technologies. But do you have the spiritual wisdom to know what to do with it? That's what caused the destruction of previous cycles, you know? The Atlantean times is basically what they could do, people consider today as magic. And they existed for a long, you know, period of time, you know, tens of thousands of years. But then when the decay set in, you have that much power, you know, the power to heal is the power to kill or blow up the planet with a flip of the frequency, right? So you have to know what you're doing. But then also, the Age of Aquarius is about technology, and it has to do with entitlement because now, this is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just a fact that the sign of Aquarius is the sign of Lucifer or Enki, right? So, of course, Enki, Lucifer, he was the smartest one. He's the rule breaker, right? pushing forward. It's like Prometheus, another word for this archetype, right? But at the same time, very entitled, because, you know, Aquarian people or the sign of Aquarius, it's a aspect that does tend to be smarter, have a little edge intellectually over others. But at the same time, it's just like Aleister Crowley said, he prophesied the Aeon of Horus, right? The petulant child or the spoiled child, because you are smarter. You do have a little more talent. You know how to work the angles. But because of that, you're a little spoiled. So how does this play into what's going on today? Well, obviously the technology is massively more literally in people's hands. Like the smartphone today is far superior to the home computer that came out in the 70s or 80s. It's much more powerful, right? You could do almost anything with a smartphone. And also the women have been brought in. Women typically, I'm not saying this as a misogynist thing, but it's just a fact. It was more geeks, computer geeks that were into, like, you know, early internet. I'm sure you remember, James, the BBS, the bulletin boards. It was a little arcane, not so easy to get into, right? There were women there, but they weren't the majority of the female population. Now they've really worked it with the social engineering, the social media, right? Because women are more social. What do they love to do? Snapchat filter, put the dog face on. Which is actually mapping every feature biometrically of your face. That was a great promotion. Now they've mapped the face of like hundreds of millions of people. And so the women have been sucked in as equally as the men now into the technology. And they will easily give up their privacy, their information and so forth, just for a rebate, a coupon, Or simply the ease of, by the touch of your finger, getting food delivered. Could be as simple as that. Or say the myriad of appliances from Google, Amazon, and so forth. You say, hey, XYZ device, play a reggae song, or, you know, name the band, play that rock song, that hip hop song, and it plays it for you. But by the mere fact that can happen immediately, you have to know it's listening to you 24/7, right? So in many ways, the convenience factor, or that factor of being spoiled, may be a little harsh, but you could say entitled. And you look at the millennial generation, and the generations behind them are even more entitled. It goes to show that if we're not in the Aquarian age, we're definitely quickly moving towards it. So that convenience factor plays into a big part of these smart cities, where everything, every appliance is going to be wired, whether it's your refrigerator, your microwave, so forth. Everything's going to be connected to the internet through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, which also massively increases the amount of electromagnetic pollution in your space, right?
Yeah, and the convenience factor plays itself out, because a lot of these millennials, and you can even go back a generation or two for people that had a millennial type mindset even before the millennials came into being, so many of these appliances and these devices seem catered to be time savers, to help people in their day-to-day life. But like you just pointed out, Masaki, there's an entitlement / dependency factor at work, where they begin to become dependent upon these devices. And it takes away more and more of their reasoning ability, their discernment, their problem-solving skills. And let's face it, because of the NPC factor that Randy Moggins and others talk about, and I don't mean to say this in an elitist sense, but for many of these people, like, as far as brain power is concerned, we're talking vestigial at this point, where a lot of these people are almost acting in an autonomous, automaton type fashion, just carrying things out by rote, because their day is all scheduled out for them, and they know that they use certain things at certain times of the day. It's a lot of the spontaneity, a lot of the joy of existence, of life has just been sapped out of these people, and they don't even realize it.
Well, you know, it's a simple fact that, you know, we are here in a 3D world, so we have to deal with things like money. You know, maybe back in the day it was barter, but you're basically dealing in a physical world. But we're spiritual beings too, right? So there's always two halves. But where you get into trouble is the more material you get, the more despiritualized you become. So I would call this AI or the robot route. And what's a robot but a convenient slave, basically, right? People should think about that, because when you put it in that context, it makes you think, because they even have these so-called sex bots coming out. What's that but basically a sex slave, right? And you're going to have machines working for you to basically do slave work, right? But the more 3D based you become, ego based you become, the more out of touch with the other half, which is the dimensions. And another word for spirit is energy. So you could say people have become de-spiritualized, or you could say they lack the understanding of energetics. And that's an important part of the Aquarian age, because it's all about, like, a lot of these energies you will not be able to see with your physical eye, but many of us can perceive it with our third eye or with certain measuring devices and so forth. But basically, the time that we're in, there's a fork in the road. And I would say that the whole artificial intelligence route, the transhumanist route, it's a complete misunderstanding of what we are, what we're doing here. And ultimately, it's a dead end. So, and I do think that there's going to be a portion of the society that keeps going down that road and becomes basically like soulless microchips beings, you know. But they'll probably, you know, go ahead, do that. Fast forward a million years, they're going to look like unisex alien grays with their DNA degrading. And they're going to go, oh, we messed up, and we're going to have to use that time machine to go back and steal the human's DNA or something like that, you know. So.
And that's exactly what some people hypothesize today, that some of these beings are coming back because they've reached the biological end of their tether. They can't reproduce because they're all androgyne. They're all androgynous. They're lacking any kind of genitalia. And we see the initial manifestations of that. Oh, you're either no gender or you're myriad genders. And don't offend any one of them, right? Because then the whole Twitterverse and the whole corporate media will come down on your ass. So we're already heading in that direction.
Well, you know, the whole thing about the transhumanists is it's very ego-based. So it's Saturnalian. That's all you could say. It's Saturnalian because Saturn rules the 3D matrix. So a lot of these transhumanists, they say, our goal is to live forever. Forever in this 3D matrix? You're nuts. Because anybody that has done any amount of metaphysical work, seeing with a third eye and so forth, done their soul excavation, right? Their karmic work, you know that you never really die. Maybe your ego self doesn't remain, but we are existing on many multi-dimensional levels. But that just shows you that they have a blinders view of creation, right? And as far as you're talking about the multi-gender thing, I think on one hand it is cultural confusion, but it is a fact also that the age of Aquarius is the age of LGBT and mutation. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I think, hey, I grew up in LA. I was a DJ for many years. I DJed many gay parties and so forth. But you know, one of the signs of Aquarius is the rainbow and the unicorn. So I think if you have any contact with the LGBT community, you're going to see rainbows and sometimes you're going to see unicorns. But what's interesting, James, is see, and I've had people argue with me, but if you just lay out, like I have images saved, you know, for presentations in the future and so forth. But if you just lay out the imagery, it is very clear that there's no way around it. As an archetype, this is true. From the, I think they're called the Yazidis in the Middle East. They worship basically Lucifer. They call him the Peacock Rainbow. The rainbow, the peacock. That's the NBC in America. We had a channel called NBC. So Luciferian symbol. On the European heraldry, you'll often see a shield. And on two sides, you'll have the lion and you'll have a unicorn with broken chains. The lion, in my opinion, is Enlil, and the unicorn is Enki. And at the top, sometimes you'll see a little lion, which may be Anu, the father, right? You can take this even further back in the Mithra, so the Mithraic cults. They had these chambers where they would do kind of like Masonic rituals, and they would have an altar against one wall, and you would see a lion, and you would see a pyramid or cone shape. So, and it's the horn god, basically. It's the horn god, you know? This goes back, even, I'll say this, one of the totems of my family, in Japanese, we get a mon, or family crest, from the mother's side. The girls get the mother's side. The father takes the father's crest, right? My crest from my father's side is the stag horns or the deer antlers. That's nothing less than Enki. So there's no way around it. These, you know, you could take it as an archetype or it's literal history, but they're so deeply embedded in the human psyche, you know, that I can't get around with it. I got to say Enki's my daddy because my literal family crest is the horn god, right? So going back to the whole LGBT thing, you will see a rise in LGBT, but also mutation. It's basically, Aquarius is the least so-called traditional sign. It's also the least human sign. It's the most alien sign. It's about future science, right? Pisces was like the traditional family, or what most people would consider traditional family under like the two parents and the kids and so forth, right? That age is ending. And now it's, you know, you could say Aquarius is about revolution. It's about freedom. It's about, you know, let your freak flag fly, right? It's a sign of the hippie. Do whatever you want. But the thing is that it could result
in complete... Or do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
Exactly.
Right?
So in one sense, it's great. You have total freedom. This basically Pisces, age of Pisces, too many rules. Age of Aquarius, no rules at all. Right? So there would naturally be more of a range of all kinds of genders, sexual preferences, and so forth. But I think, like many things, going back to the ethnic thing, right? America, a lot of countries definitely have racial problems. Is there racism? Of course. But now it's being weaponized to put the groups against each other, right? Immigration. A lot of countries have relied on cheap, illegal labor to fuel the economy, right? And that has to be recognized. You can't be two-faced and not recognize that a lot of economies have been built off the back of imported labor, right? Often they're put in a gray zone where they don't have official citizen status, residency status. But at the same time, look at what happened at the EU. That was definitely a weaponized migration to cause chaos, right? And then we bring it, so bring it around to the whole LGBT thing. there's always been gay people, and now we have trans and so forth, but now it's being weaponized, right? To, you know, I think LGBT is probably around 5% of the population. You wouldn't know that, though, because for the amount of shows coming out and so forth, you think it was like more than 50%. So, you know.
And that's the inherent unfairness of it, where a relatively small percentage of the population has to be catered in such a fashion that it impacts and affects the broad spectrum of society, right? And like yourself, I've got the street cred. I've recently been one of a select number of guests invited to a gay wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Lesbian wedding. Wonderful gals. One of them has a beautiful young daughter, right? And you look on my mobile phone, I've got recent text messages from a gay buddy of mine that I'm in comms with. I've got gay family members. So nobody give me any crap about me being a homophobe, yada, 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 because I got the street cred, right? Not only that, though, but what I've seen, Misaki, also is we know back in the day, and this still carries on to the present time, the so-called conservatives. And what are we traditionally to view the conservatives as? Christian-based, conservative in politics, fiscal conservatism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we know, we strip away the layers, we know that so many of them are perverts, pedophiles, serial murderers.
The Republicans are some of the on the surface, they're the Christians, but then they're always found
to be
doing some
evil things.
Pretty out there stuff. Yeah.
You just look at some of these, you know, these past big shots in the political, financial, industrial world who branded themselves as conservative Republicans. So the point of relevance, Misaki, is this undercurrent, this sub rosa movement of these criminals, basically, has been part and parcel of the conservative movement from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so we see elements of this same, although branded differently, the same criminal enterprise rebranding itself in the LGBT movement. Now, and just as many conservatives would be aghast and would fight you tooth and nail if you say, wait a minute, within your ranks, within your leadership are some really evil people, Iran, Contra, everything else you can think of, right? And were we to point out to some of these, because everything is in a high emotional state nowadays, in a calm, rational fashion, look, some of these people in the LGBT movement, they're not what you would be aghast if you knew what some of these people were up to in your name. The activities and the things they're doing in your name is right out in the open. And, you know, by tacit approval, you are complicit in this. Just as every Christian conservative who voted religiously, pardon the bad pun, for the Republicans, just like my family did, we were Republican card-carrying members year after year after year, voting for the Reagans, voting for the Bushes, voting for the Fords, the Nixons.
Well, and you know, it's not just the you know, like me saying it, or it's typically, you know, I don't consider myself right wing. I just kind of look at what's happening, but I don't have a particular bias, I think. But even there's people in the LGBT community that are looking at, you know, I think a lot of the battle, because, you know, through history, they have been persecuted. But I think a lot of the main things that they were looking for were solved in the 90s, you know. But now it's pushed beyond that. And there, even people in the LGBT community are saying, like, I think it's a little extreme to be giving, you know, prepubescent teens hormones and things like that. And so, I mean, basically, whether it's the ethnic thing, whether it's the gender, sexuality, or so forth, the question you have to ask yourself is, can it be weaponized? That's the thing. Or immigration. Can it be weaponized? Because I think, you know, especially if you lived, let's say in the case of the U.S., if you lived on the southern border, you know, like Texas, New Mexico, California,
Arizona,
we all grew up among people that, you know, they had to come here, you know, so-called illegally and so forth. And they were hardworking people. They built a life here. They meant no harm to the country. But the thing is, the immigration that's happening now in the U.S. is mirroring what was where the EU was like 5+ years ago, where we never had waves of 5,000-10,000 people in blocks coming. You know, they're even coming from South America, and they're getting funding from Soros NGOs and so forth. So it's different than it was before, but to try to explain this to people that don't, you know, most people, they really don't pay attention to the news. They may read the headline and not read the story, but most people, they don't really pay attention. Most people don't even know that the U.S. has overthrown a lot of countries in the Obama administration, like Ukraine, Brazil, you know, the open slave trade in Libya. That was Obama and Hillary's doing, right?
Ongoing yeah. efforts to destabilize and unseat the, you know, present government yeah. in Venezuela, putting a proxy in there to be the focal point of unseating the legitimate government.
Right. So, you know, in many of these cases, the people, let's say like the migrants coming over, most of them, they're just pawns. You know, they don't know what's going on. They just want a better life. But what is the larger implication of these huge population movements, these cultural changes where you have now the social media, you know, traditional media is dying. Most people, they don't even watch TV anymore. CNN is closing shop. You know, a lot of the traditional outlets, they're dying on the vine. But everything has moved into the social media and the online. And I'm sure you see it every day, the psychic driving of the same story. Well, it's a different story, but it has the same message. So this little girl, and she's awesome, you know, or this migrant, he was doing this, and he's so great. And, you know, one by one, hey, I applaud them. You know, everybody should better themselves. But there's a kind of an agenda behind a lot of these things. You know, this is we're getting into some controversial topics here, James. But I'm glad it's your listeners because they probably understand. Like the feminism, right? Basically, I think everybody should have the freedom to do what they want. Through history, obviously, the women have been suppressed. But it's just a fact. We know the intel agencies, they basically guided the modern feminist movement to unbalance the family structure, right?
Absolutely. It was part of their communist. It's right there in the communist layout plan, just to destabilize and fragment and destroy the family structure as a precursor destroying societies, and it's the order out of chaos kind of syndrome that we've been talking about.
Right. So do we want women to have their freedom and so forth? Of course. But then it turns into women against men, just like they pit the genders, the sexes against each other. They pit the gays against the straights. They pit the ethnics against the whites. And guess what? When you do that, you want, because really the controlling group on the planet is pretty small.
Yes, it is.
it's basically, we've all heard, we're on a prison planet. Well, guess what? Take that concept and think of it. You're in the prison yard, right? And you're a very small group. You got the Mexicans over here. You got the blacks over there. You got the whites over here. How are you going to stay on top if you're a very small group and you have these other larger groups? You start saying, hey, you know what this guy said about you? You know, those guys, they don't like you. And you just get them, those groups fighting against each other while you sit back and they tear each other apart.
That's a key point to make, because the controlling factor, the ruling elite, who themselves are basically guided by non-humans, essentially, they're the prison warders, they're the plantation, the hybrid plantation managers. And to them, sitting in their lofty places where they have their own security and all that, it's not only would they care less about society being ripped apart through all this mass immigration and through the wholesale slap on the wrist, turning loose all these serial offenders, sexual predators, et cetera, et cetera. It's all out in the news now. It's even in the mainstream where these evil people that are sexual predators, they just let them off the hook nowadays, basically, because that's what the system wants. It's very Babylonian. It's very Talmudic. And by so doing, they put the rest of us into this big kind of prison population where it's dog eat dog, where it's survival of the fittest, and you have to resort to the lowest base primal instincts, divesting yourself of what's left of your humanity in the process, right, that hasn't already been taken away by AI and digital devices and whatnot. Just to be able to survive in such an environment, you have to kind of get down in the trenches, get down and dirty like the rest of them. And that's why they are there, and they're saying, let's flood these countries with all these different immigrants, bring in Sharia law, normalize all this aberrant behavior. It's not going to affect us because, you know, we're living in New Zealand. We got our, you know, we got our security, and we got our armed guards and everything else. Let them deal with this. And eventually they're going to, it's a complete transformation of society is what it is.
Well, you know, we live in a time of great change, but really you don't need a lot to push through. And what you need or what's key is conviction and kind of a spiritual power. I think that's why there's a lot of pressure put on groups, say like the Russiasphere or Palestinians. They can't stand it because they cannot break these people. You know, it's like, look at the Palestinians. They have literally nothing, but they can't break them. You know why? Because they exist as an ethnic group, and they know
cohesive group identity, sharing the same culture, the same persecution, the same oppression, and also what the Russians have gone through on a mass scale, and the Germans too. What's left?
Because they know if they were to fully accept what's being pushed on them, they will no longer exist as a people. Yes. They may exist as atomized individuals, like people in the West that exist on pop culture with, like, you have basically no past, right? You just get absorbed into the pop culture, the neoliberal West, right? You exist as a shell of a person, basically. And that's why they just cannot stand people like Palestinians or Russia, where, you know, actually Russia's a very modern country. They have smartphones, they have a lot of things, but on an overall basis, they've made certain decisions. Like Putin said, we are a Christian country. We don't have any problem with gays. He said that. If you look, people say like, oh, aren't they persecuting gays over there? But you have to understand what Russia went through in the last century. They lost like tens of millions. How many millions of people, James? It's a lot. They were basically totally depopulated. They lost even more people in the collapse of the USSR in the 90s. And for them to grow and prosper into the future, they said, look, Putin says, hey, you know, we understand there's gay people. If you want to be gay, that's fine. But we're not going to promote it publicly like here in the U.S. or a lot of the West, because they want to build the Russian family and keep that propagating, right? And also, they have their own culture. They're Slavic Russian culture, right? So they're open to exchange with the West, do business with the West, but they want to maintain some of their ethnic traditions. For them to totally open up would be to not be Russian anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's no one there to, at least not a loud, shrill voice in Russia, to scream at everyone for being Islamophobic, for being homophobic, and because they have pride in their ancestry, they have pride in their history. However much they've suffered, however much they've been persecuted and slaughtered and wiped out, they still have pride for being Russians, and there's nothing wrong with that. And but here in the West, for someone, and there was a kid on Twitter or something a few months back, he talked about how proud he was of his European ancestry and how Europeans have created a lot of the things today we take for granted, a lot of the innovations and inventions, so on and so forth. Of course, the Twitterverse erupted into a firestorm, and people were openly calling, you know, for the death of this person. And again, it's an example, Masaki, of how this high emotional content has replaced reasoned debate, rational debate, logic, and that keeps us in a lower vibration. It keeps everyone locked into this us versus them mentality, and it's so easy to mete out hatred and antipathy towards the demonic other, if you will, right? And that's what's happened. And so whenever I see, and we've also seen an aspect of this in the so-called alternative media, Masaki, where whenever I see anything of a high emotional content, whether it's Flat Earth, whether it's, you know, the secret space cowboys and their Antifa mentality, where hordes of these attack bots just go onto the websites of people who disagree with them or don't believe their story. Whenever I see that high emotional Antifa, Maoist, Red Guards kind of mentality, I know that there's an agenda behind it, right? And so, like, for example, you and I, you know, I believe that reptilians exist, and the reptilian overlordship is a real issue confronting all of us. I'm not going to barge onto natural health websites and start screaming about reptilians. And if you don't believe in reptilians, you're a shill and you're part of the cover up and you work for NASA. And that's what's going on with like the flat earth types, with a lot of the space cowboy Antifa types. Everything is of a high emotional nature. And that just smacks to me of this communist Soviet Maoist mentality.
The funny thing is, it's almost like the Russia sphere has become the good old America, and America's becoming the Soviet old Soviet sphere.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, even Stalin, he kicked out all the Trotskyites, and they became like the Frankfurt School, which, you know, landed in Chicago and so forth.
Yes.
So it's funny how the roles have kind of switched. But I'll also say that I think that one of the things that helped form my worldview is I do come from an old family. So at least I can track back at least to this, to like 1600. So that's like 400 something years, right? And it probably goes back further than that, but I could definitely track back at least 400 years. So when I look at what's going on today, I'm looking at it at a totally different perspective. And I come from a priest line, right? This is not that different than how the black nobility and other banker families look at the world. They're not looking at it where they only know like maybe one or two generations back. Most people, they don't even know much about their great-grandparents, right? But there are certain bloodlines of families that are thinking completely different than the average person on the street. They're thinking long game. And I can tell you that this is why they've broken down the nations. They confounded the languages, like they say in the scriptures. They've broken the tribes. They've broken the family structure. They've broken the relation between man and woman. But they call the final revolution is the transformation of the very human being. Right, that's where we're at right now, and I don't think it's a like, oh, you know, it's the end game. We have actually, like I said, this process, because this is larger than the so-called good and evil, the controllers on this world, and so forth. This whole process is to remind people of who we are and why we're here, because if everything was nice and easy, these kind of big philosophical questions would never be raised. But now it's like I was saying, I go out on the street, I see the Agenda 21 housing. The 5G network is rolling out. You see how disassociated and disconnected people are socially. It's like, wow, this is like, we've been talking about it for years, decades, but it is unavoidable. Like you are living it, you're seeing it. So I think the good part is that for those that are aware, you can't control what other people are doing, but you have control in your own sphere. So that's when we use things like the energy tools, we do our self-meditation, we keep our own energy, you could call energy spirit, we keep our own spirit strong. And after that, I mean, there's not much else you can do, you know. But I'll tell you this, just being very sure about who you are, what you will allow and not allow, basically having boundaries, that is very powerful, you know.
It is. And like you pointed out, a recognition of who you are, where you came from, your ancestral lines, it mm-hmm. plays a key role, because so many people, like you pointed out, they have no clue as to who they are, where they're from. And now, you know, white people en masse are being made to feel white guilt, white privilege, all this other stuff. So it's just an obliteration, a whitewashing of the mm-hmm. European history. And I must say, before we end this fascinating, thought-provoking first segment, not only is internet censorship on the rise, two of my videos have been excised, surgically removed from YouTube. One of them was about mm-hmm. Manchester, the bombing mm-hmm. there, and the hybrid nature of it, how people were really killed, but the Twitter bots and the shills on the internet made it seem like it was a hoax where no one was killed. And then also my commentary about Las Vegas, right? And the two are intimately connected, as you know. So myself, like many people, were undergoing this kind of censorship that's going on. Secondly, to talk about the Japanese ancestry, Masaki, people don't understand the pivotal role the Japanese played in California.
Oh, yeah.
The agricultural and economic boon they were, the Japanese families coming to America, coming to California and to Washington, Oregon, setting up farms, you know, providing foodstuffs for the local economies, and how, because I guess because of resentment, jealousy, racism, whatever the case may be, all these so-called yellow laws were instituted to make it difficult for Japanese American farmers to do their work. And then leading up to World War II, how Executive Order 9066, and like omit the zero and then invert the other nine, then you got Executive Order 666, the incarceration, detainment in camps, concentration camps, and the looting of virtually all of the assets and property of the Japanese Americans in the process. Oh, meanwhile, send your sons out to be the most highly decorated combat unit in American military history. Why don't you? Right. So, I mean, it's not news to you, Masaki, exactly, but I'm just pointing it out to the public where that's listening, that thoughtful, meaningful immigration can have a meaningful, positive impact on society. If the people that come in are you know, doing good works, as many of the Japanese did in America before they were persecuted.
Yeah. Well, you know, even, you know, I'll just say this before we hop into the second hour. But, you know, even among the Islamic Middle East refugee wave, there are legitimate people that they're highly intelligent. They work with IT. They want a better life. But like we said, there's just a larger chess player that's moving these pieces on the board to make us fight against each other. How can you have harmony in a stable society when you basically, like Samuel P. Huntington says, clash of civilizations, when you clash two totally opposite different structures, two different societies against each other, right? So, you know, I hope people found this interesting. We're not trying to be provocative or whatever, but I think, you know, given your audience, James, they'll probably understand what we're pointing to.
And it helps every once in a while, Masaki, to just have a summary of recent events. And I don't know, maybe I'm just seeing too much into this, but the coincidence of these big earthquakes hitting right around the 4th of July holiday, and your average American millennial on the street doesn't even, they just think it's a holiday. Oh, the 4th of July. The 4th of July is a special day. Well, why is it a special day, right?
Well, we could talk a little bit on the second hour about the
Because also we need to get back to Jeffersonian principles of governance, right? Instead of this big empire thing that developed because of Abraham Lincoln, his invasion of the South and everything else. They just wiped out the vestiges were actually the stronghold of what America was actually all about. Slavery was going to die a natural death in America. There were many other nations in the Western Hemisphere that had slavery, that abolished it in time. They didn't have to resort to a bloody civil war, which resulted in the utter devastation of the American South and the remaking of it in this empire-type kind of mode. So thank you for a thought-provoking first segment, Masaki. Could you let our listeners know about your website and talk and just give a sneak preview of what we're going to talk about, the energy tools, in the second segment?
Sure. My website is akaida.com. That's akaida.com. I specialize in orgone pyramids. Some people say organite pyramids. But I'm really focusing on power devices now. So it has a much more powerful field that it throws out, and you can connect them to exciting things like Rife Machine and so forth. So check it out, akaida.com, and my name is Masaki. So hand it back to you, James.
And to our dear listeners out there, stay tuned. We have a lot more to share in the second segment. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.